of the transcendental activities of Krishna upon the surface of the earth. Asat Karna Piyushe, who pleases the demands of the transcendental, purified ears, Yashatirta Pare, keeping oneself in the best of holy places, by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Sakrit, once only, immediately. Shrota Anjalihi, in the form of hearing the transcendental message. Upasprisha, touching exactly like the water of the Ganges. Dunute, destroys. Karmavasanam, the strong desire for fruitive activities. So translation, simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. So you can repeat. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord, through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately free from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. When the devotees orally receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as enacted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Thus they achieve freedom from the material world. For sense gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. For the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities, and therefore people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or stop the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Here the words Shrutanjalir Upasprisha indicate that simply by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic fruitive activities, anyavilashita, shunyam. Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are freed from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, and therefore they cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities. So Yasmin Sakarma Piyushe Yashastirta Bare Sakrit Tritanjaliru Pasprasha Dunute Karma Vasanam. So Om Ganachi Vedanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So we hear this particular verse and we're thinking, why doesn't it work with me? Or why doesn't it work with everybody in the temple? Or why doesn't it work with our whole congregation? Because it says simply by you receiving the words, through purified transcendental ears, you're immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. And why do we not see that? You know, is this simply something called hyperbole? Hyperbole means like exaggeration. You know, sometimes you exaggerate something, like you say, how far is it from here to India? You say, wow, it's a long, millions of miles. It's not actually millions of miles. It's thousands of miles. But when something is so big, or how big is let's say, that lake? Wow, it's gigantic. You know, you exaggerate. That's called hyperbole. So is this hyperbole? No, it's not hyperbole, because the Bhagavatam doesn't engage in that particular activity or that particular type of description. But we have to take the operative phrase, which is this first part of this verse, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, and also that's mentioned here. Sat karana, piyushe karana means ear, sat means eternal, piyushe means purified. So anyway, so there's also a verse in the Bhagavatam that illustrates or gives the prescription for this, that, I'm sorry if I remember that verse. I was just thinking about the verse before that. Shushushro Shradananasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shan Mahatsevya Vipra Punyatirtana Shevana. So the operative word in that particular verse is Shradananasya Shushushro, one who hears. And then what is it? Shradananasya, one who hears with faith. But as we've described many times in this class, that word shraddha means more than just faith. It means to give your heart to Krishna, to have full implicit trust in the holy names. Like we were describing last night, those of you who were in class, the types of ignorance that people have. Ignorance basically means not to trust or not to have faith, even though you know the information. We're talking about the different types of ignorance. Ignorance in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ignorance in the position of the soul, and ignorance in the holy name. Those are the three types. Everybody remembers that from last night? No, nobody remembers, because nobody was there. You were in the kitchen. Anyway, so there's three types of ignorance. Ignorance. That's interesting, ignorance. Ignorance means that you are basically Krishna Bhaktivinoda. You're ignoring that, or you're not aware of it, or you're deliberately trying to avoid thinking about it. So, and you don't have faith. You know, shraddha is the essential quality. So, therefore, shushushro shraddhanasya, if one has faith, then it immediately works like this. I mean, this is an immediate description here, which is really interesting. It says, immediately freed, phew, from strong material desires. So the question is, how do we get that trust? How do we get that faith? And it takes some time. I mean, there's different methods of obtaining faith. I mean, the first method is basically observation. You know, observing someone who has the faith. Like if you observe someone like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, it inspires you in chanting the holy names and inspires you in having the faith. And the second method is the method mentioned in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Pachaksha Bhagavan Dharmyam, Shushukam Kardamavyam, Rajavijarayi Guyam. But before that particular verse in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's Idam Tu Te Guyotamam, Prajaksha Mani Suyave Gyanavijanam Sahidam. That one has to be on a suyave, which means free of envy. Envy is an interesting thing. Matsarya is the Sanskrit word that's generally used for envy. So envy means, there's several things it means. One thing it means, I want what you have. And another type of envy, which Prabhupada describes as jiva hingsa. Hingsa means enemy also. Envy. Another type of envy is that I want to enjoy you. You understand? Just like Prabhupada describes that in regard to meat eating. That you see a subject as an object. What I mean by object, like for example, my phone is an object. It's not a subject. Of course, nowadays they're developing this artificial intelligence. I have this thing in my house, this Google Home Mini that I can talk to. You know, the other night I said, "Good night, Google." And she replied, it's a lady, she replied, "What time do you want to wake up in the morning?" And I said, "I'm not going to use you as my alarm clock." She said, "I don't understand what you're saying." So this whole conversation going on. But still, it's an object, not a subject. A subject is someone that has consciousness, feelings. So jiva hinsa means to be envious of someone in any species of life who has feelings like animals. So if you're eating meat, you're envious in a real sense of that particular species. Because you want, basically you want what it has and you want to enjoy it. And you don't care about what it or he or she feels. I mean, lust is the same thing. That you see someone and you want to enjoy them. And you know, what they feel or how they feel is really secondary or even not even important to you. So we have this envy. And of course, this ultimately it's envy of Krishna. We want what he has. What does he have? He's the center. Ishwaroham, aham bhogi. You know, that's the chant of the materialist. Ishwaroham. I am the controller, aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer, siddham balavan sukhi, I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I'm the best, and everybody else is the rest. So this is all envy. So basically, one has to work on that. Idam tute guyatamam papaksha anasuyave. A very interesting verse. I'll read it. The verse that I gave you just so you could. I mean, actually, I did read it. I know it by heart. But I'll read the word by word synonym for you, which is really interesting. Of course, it's the first verse in the ninth chapter of the Gita. Of course, it starts with Sri Bhagavan Navaja, because that's Krishna talking. Idam this tu bhat te unto you guyatamam. The most confidential pravakshami, I'm speaking, anasuyave, to the non-envious. There's that word we described, anasuyave. And then jnana, vijnana. In other words, we give you this knowledge, I'll give you this knowledge, but you have to realize it, sahitam which, yat which, gatwa, knowing which, moksha say you will be released, ashubat, from this miserable material existence. So the full translation, the Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, because which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." And the next verse is the Apachaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamavyam. You know, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavichami Damutam Apachaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamavyam. You know, this is the secret. It's the most secret of all secrets. Raja Vidya, king of knowledge. Prabhupada actually published there was a small book called The King of Knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. It's the most secret of all secrets. The king of all secrets, sorry. King of all secrets. Because Guyatamam would be the most secret. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram. It is the most pure. Idam Uttama, supreme. Pratyaksha. And so this is the point here in this particular verse of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says in the purport that they have freedom of the since become so pure and no longer takes interest in the materialist activities, the attractive to Krishna consciousness. Situated in liberation, Oh yeah, cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities. Anyway, prachakshabhagamam dharmyam means by direct experience. And that's also the same thing as param drishtani vartate. That's why they're not called back to their materialistic homes and their material homes, because they're having a higher taste. Vishayav nivartante niharasya dehina. Rasa varjam rasyopyasya param drishtani vartate. You know that verse?
Yeah.
Good. That the conditioned soul, that's us, Vishayav nivartante niharasya dehina, that we may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but that's really artificial. But the taste remains. But raso varjam, raso prashat, we're experiencing a higher ras, a higher taste. Ras means taste. Param drishta divartate, you know, higher param. Then one is fixed in consciousness, one is nishta at this particular point. So Prabhupada here is describing nishta. So anyway, so getting back to the point of anasuyaveda, if we really want to be non-envious of Krishna, that means we have to be non-envious of everyone related to Krishna. You understand? We can't say, I'm non-envious of Krishna, I love Krishna, but you know, you're a jerk. Or treat people impersonally. Then you'll never understand Krishna. Anyway, then you'll just simply be a third-class devotee. Because a third-class devotee is just related with Krishna, related with Krishna on the altar. But he doesn't see how Krishna is connected, not only in everyone's heart, but everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. You know, it's one thing to see, oh, Krishna's in your heart, but you're still a jackass. But to see how everyone is part of Krishna, in other words, like part, really part, and parcel. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Isn't it? And then Manachastani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karsti. But they're struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. But they're part of Krishna. So we should deal with everyone like that. You know, oh. Just like when you're dealing with children. You have to consider who their parents are. Just like, you know, sometimes people are showing me pictures of their little children, right? And I never say they're ugly. I always say, you know, how adorable they are, because I understand they're connected with the parents. I mean, like Prabhupada said, the mother's love for the child is the closest thing to pure love of God. Well, that mother's love for the child is a reflection of Krishna's love for all of us, for everyone. Isn't it? That's why it's so powerful. I mean, you find powerful things in this world, like lust, for example, like attraction between men and women. You know, like that song goes, when love hits your eye like a big pizza pie or whatever. You know, you get bewildered. But that's coming from the spiritual world. Because it's intense in the spiritual world, so it's intense, the love between Radha and Krishna. And the gopis, when they couldn't join Krishna in the rasa dance, they were kept by their husbands, they left their material bodies. I mean, at least the ones who had material bodies, because they weren't completely purified at that point. But they just left their bodies. They were, that was the intensity of that love. And that's reflected in the intensity of the lust in this world. So the love that Krishna has for all of us is reflected in the intensity of the mother's love for the children. So one can really understand that. So that's why it's important to deal with all of Krishna's parts and parcels nicely. Otherwise, you're envious. And if you're envious, getting back to the same point, prachacha, you're not going to have that direct experience. And if you don't have that direct experience, we're just deriving the whole theme of the class, then you're not going to become detached from the material world. Then you will be attracted to your material home again. and your material activities. And mundane, I mean, it's really interesting how Prabhupada said not be called back to the material homes. That's really in relationship to all the young people that joined the Hare Krishna movement when Prabhupada was present. And the parents say, come home, come home, come home. I mean, it's not that we don't love our parents. We certainly love our parents, and we love everybody. But it's just like you can't stand to live with people who are not devotees anymore. I mean, just really, technically. Because it, like the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the most miserable thing? And Ramananda Roy replied, to be separated from the devotees. It's miserable. It's miserable. But if you don't have that higher taste, then you're going to be looking for other tastes, you know, society, friendship, and love that'll take you away from Krishna. So anyway, so I've already given you the solution. Why devotees leave Krishna consciousness? Because they don't relate properly with the other devotees and with living entities in general. And if we're simply loving towards all living entities, you know, empathic, because love begins with empathy, which is actually part of my course. If we're empathic towards all living entities, which means considering their happiness to be just as important or more important than our own happiness. In other words, our happiness in distress is dependent on others' happiness. That's compassion. That's empathy. And if we have that mood, then we will no longer be interested, because Krishna will give us the higher taste, and we'll no longer be interested in the things of this material world. Anyway, so we will end the discussion right now. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments? Arguments, Gopi.
I was really, actually really appreciating your point about well, just clarifying envy.
Yeah.
Because you know, it just like, especially when you related it to meat eating, because I don't know, somehow, you know, I mean, we hear these things so many times, but just to relate it to that and understanding that envy is really the fact that you don't see Krishna.
Yeah, you don't.
And therefore you want to take advantage, so it's about being a controller, which obviously leads back to what you said about, you know, that's why we have envy, is because we're really envious of Krishna. And if we're envious of Krishna related to other living entities, it's because we don't see the related to Krishna.
Yes.
I never thought about envy related to meat eating, because it doesn't seem, you know, like materially intellectually that that's a connection, but it's a really amazing point.
We want what the animal has, its body. It's just like raping.
Yeah.
Like when someone rapes someone, they're envious of the person because they want their body and they don't consider themselves as they don't consider the other person as a person. They consider the other person, I mean, just like any of these things, like racism, speciesism, of course, sexism, that's all envy. It's all envy. Because you're seeing, you're not considering the other person's feelings, and you're seeing what the other person has, the body, or whatever, is lesser or belongs to you. You know, so eating meat or killing, you know, whatever, is worse than raping, of course, because you're actually killing, but it's the same concept, the same idea. I want what you have. It's just like taking one of your organs, you know, I'd like your kidneys, or something like that. So you have to see that as envy. It's jiva hinsa. Prabhupada actually described that. When I first heard that, I was wondering, how is meat eating jiva hinsa or envy of a jiva? Because it's, you want what the other jiva has, and you don't consider that they are a person with feelings. It's just like so horrendous. All right. Any other questions?
Did you have relationships to the devotees, and because I don't know, I just had a realization recently about how, you know, our level of surrender and being able to have a relationship with Krishna is definitely incumbent upon our level of compassion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, that's really what it's incumbent upon. That's what surrender is, because it requires, you know, tolerance. You know, in order to surrender, you have to have compassion, right? I mean,
well, I mean, the point is that everybody's connected to Krishna. We're part, like I mentioned in class, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. That ant that's crawling in my garland, of course it's not an ant now, but you know, sometimes we have ants coming from the garland. That's part and parcel of Krishna. It's part of Krishna. You understand? The ant isn't Krishna, obviously, but it's part and parcel of Krishna, just like the child is part and parcel of the mother or father. I mean, even more intimate than that. I mean, the description we give is like the hand is part and parcel of the body. You know, it has a parcel means it has its own separate identity. It's not just like merged into the body. But we're connected to Krishna. We're actually really connected. Every entity is really connected to Krishna. So if we mistreat another living entity or hate another living entity, in essence, that means we're hating Krishna. So it's all part of being envious of Krishna. Or if we use another living entity. It's like using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with, as Prabhupada said.
So, and you would say, so like, envy is a lack of compassion, right?
Well, lack of compassion is a manifestation of envy. We'll turn that around. Because one could still be envious and have some compassion for other people. So you have to understand the syllogism. So lack of compassion is evidence of envy of other living entities. It's evidence of pride. Pride is evidence of envy. When you think you're better than someone else, that's envy. That's envious. Or you think you deserve something that someone else has. Of course, envy, Matsarya is one of the anarthas. You know, we talk about the different anarthas or unwanted things, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, parivaya. And the way to give it up is to actually consider yourself a servant of everyone else and consider others' happiness as important. Consider that ant's happiness as important. You know, you think you're better than the ant. I mean, Prabhupada was very heavy with the devotees when they wanted to just like spray insecticide and kill living entities. The problem is very heavy. Yeah. So, any other questions?
Yeah, I was also, because I was also thinking about envy, like, you know, giving up envy and related to compassion and seeing other people's circumstances, you know, how we give up feeling the need to protect ourselves from other people that are of us too.
Well, we still have to protect ourselves. I mean, that's, we have to be practical in this world and see that, well, this person, he has a problem, he wants to, or she wants to exploit me. So, therefore, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to be exploited, but at the same time, I'm not going to consider the person to be my enemy. I'm going to consider the person as struggling and suffering, and somehow or other, if I have it within my ability to help the person come to a higher frame of consciousness. I mean, that's the point, if I'm able to. But if I'm not able to, it's not you become codependent with the person and just destroy yourself. You have to protect yourself too. Because you are also part and parcel of Krishna. It's not that he's part and parcel of Krishna, but I'm not. So treat yourself, you know, self-love has to be there too. You know, humility is not self-hate.
Right.
Humility is considering yourself a servant of others and loving others, but it does, and you also love yourself because you're also part and parcel of Krishna. Okay. Okay.